This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And it's another Saturday afternoon. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors on 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and Mr. Tommy Springer.
Howdy.
We are coming to you live today, like we do every Saturday, noon to 2, right here from the studios at Intercom Upstate. Is that the name of the company now?
Good enough. Sounds good enough to me.
Close enough for government work.
Roger.
And where we talk about outdoors from the studio, and it is
very awkward at times.
Yeah. Seems like we ought to go out.
At least we could. At least, you know, it'd be okay if we could swat a gnat every now and then.
We could go down there to the we could go down there to the basement, the backside.
Well, that's true. We could.
Oh well, you know what I meant to say. We'll get to the show in a minute. You know what I meant to mention to you?
What's that?
You know all them blackberry bushes we were eating blackberries off. They have cut all of that.
Well, you know,
out there by the dumpster, they've cut all them briars. I'm not talking about just this year. I'm talking about they've cut all them briars out. Well,
that'll be good next year.
No, well, I mean, no, this nothing. It's bare to the ground.
Wow.
And Roundup probably on top of that.
Oh man,
we ain't gonna get no blackberries again.
Well, I'm depressed now. Okay, back to the show.
All right, back to the show. We got a great show. We have a blackberry free show from here on. We're gonna talk about a venison-free fall, which so far for me, that's what it's been.
Me as well.
Not that I hadn't been seeing any deer.
True.
I've been seeing a bunch of deer.
Yeah.
I've just been a little more selective and a little less skillful.
And in my case, I haven't been selective. It just hadn't worked out.
But basically, the Upstate Outdoors blog, we're going to talk about some alternatives to deer hunting. You know, this time of year, it's like deer hunting. But there are other game species that are readily available in the Upstate. So we'll talk about that in the Upstate Outdoors blog. And then we're going to jump into deer hunting like mad.
Like a wildcat.
We got a friend of mine, which I think he's going to be on the show. If not, we'll figure something out. But because I texted him his reminder. Hopefully he's going to be on. But he killed his first deer last week. Which is, I mean, that's good.
And that's accomplishment.
He's a grown man.
Right.
But he killed it with one of those air rifles.
Yeah.
One of the new, is a 357 caliber air rifle. And I'd seen them, looked at it on YouTube. It's a Bulldog something. It's a company that's owned by Crossman.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
And so we can get Zach on the phone.
Those were the originals when it came to, besides Daisy,
yeah,
as far as quality air rifle.
But Springer's like, man, how would you pump that thing up?
That's what I thought. Hard first enough, thing I said.
114 pumps.
I started it pumping it up yesterday.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Zach and get the story of his kill. I texted him from deer stand last night. I was sitting there, and it gets slow. I'll look at my phone, look at Facebook and all, and it popped up, and I was like, I need to get him on the show.
Right.
So he said he would. And hopefully we'll be talking to him first hour. Then I got this idea from a Carolina Sportsman feature that was on their website, mm-hmm. but their feature was a video. So I cussed Brian Cope copiously for not writing.
I'm sure he appreciated
for
that.
For not writing
yeah.
and being a videographer like everybody else wants to do
right.
and not writing.
Right.
And so I looked up another article. And was like, that'd be a pretty cool subject to talk about, how to properly net a fish.
So we have different views, because of the fish we've netted in our time.
We'll see
okay.
when we get to that part. Then during the second hour, after the Roadkill Cafe, we're going to have a special guest in the studio. And I can't believe she agreed to it. I mean, I don't know why I can't believe, but I just can't believe. We're going to have our buddy, Tammy Wachter from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources.
The Bear Whisperer.
The Bear Whisperer. She's going to be in the studio with us. I was like, hey, you need to come be in the studio. And she's like, okay. And it's bear. It's steel hunt bear season this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually a little bit surprised.
Yeah, me too.
I figured she would be out chasing out bears or something. Yeah. But, hey, she agreed to be here. Maybe she's got to come. She figures, well, I'll go to Greenville and, you know, be on hand. Somebody probably kill a bear tonight, you know,
probably.
Because it's like a 3-day season for steel hunting. But next weekend will be her busy season.
Yeah,
will be her busy weekend when they do the party dog hunt. So we'll talk with Tammy and actually talk about since she is a wildlife biologist, and I want to pick her brain a little bit, no pun intended, about chronic wasting disease too.
Yeah.
A lot of that in the news here lately. And I have today's outdoors word for you is prion, P-R-I-O-N, prion. You know, I used to think that all we had to worry about was, you know, the government. And Democrats.
That.
And zombies. And now we got to worry about prions. And prions and zombies are sort of closely related.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You'll find out why and how they're closely related when we talk to Tammy, and also when we do the parting shot.
Yeah, I
see
that.
So there you go. Did you read that?
Yeah, I did.
You already read him? All right, awesome. Then calendar of events, and our parting shot is about a man who was killed from eating squirrel brains.
Man, you got to cook those things really good. That's all I can say with that and leave it there.
Squirrel brains.
I mean, fried, dyed, and laid to the side, literally.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Actually, my opinion is some things you just don't eat.
No, I've never done the, you know. I mean, you know, being down there from way down south and back in the sticks, there's a lot of them that did.
I don't remember.
I never partake.
Where's this guy from? Is he from Alabama?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he ain't from Baldwin County, Alabama.
Wouldn't surprise me either. So that's our show for today. And we've got a great one. Looking forward to well, also, as always, we will take your calls and texts.
Yep.
And microphone's blank. 1-800-347-1063 and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line.
And a quick shout out
71307.
Sugar Tit Custom Lures in Sugar Tit, South Carolina left us a nice little some huggies and some coolers and
there's some lures in there?
No. Huggers and coolies or cooler. That's basically the same thing.
Koozies?
Yeah. It's basically, you know.
Ain't no lures in there?
No.
All right.
And a nice bumper sticker.
All right.
So thank you. We appreciate it. I think that guy is the guy that was going to beat me up in the Ingalls parking lot.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, because there's a reference to that on the box that the stuff was left in.
All right.
The Ingalls parking lot champion.
Yeah. He going to beat you to death with a koozie? I'm going to strangle you with this koozie, boy.
Oh, good gosh.
Well, anyway, looking at the week in review, I tell you what, I've been using a lot of corn in the deer hunting land. Not in the steel, but in the outland.
I've been using a lot of steel.
Yeah. Friends, dadgummit, they eating all my corn before I can get it in the steel good. But I tell you what, I have, a lot of people talking about, oh, the acorns are dropping, you need to be on the acorns. And I put corn out in a couple different places, and it is gone, like overnight. And the bad part is, it's gone overnight.
Right.
So...
They know what's the gig is up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The gig is up.
And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do also with the moon phase. Because after we have, and I'm not looking forward to this full moon, it's going to be what? Somewhere around Halloween or so?
Right about it.
Yeah. But after that, after the full moon, the last 2 or 3 days after the full moon, is a great time to be in the woods first thing in the morning.
Agreed.
They always come out. I mean, you know, during that full moon and then a couple of days after, they'll be out partying all night.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like drunk, staggering back home. Hey, man, did you see that chick? Whatever. Man, I got her number. And I'm like, hey, man, let's get something to eat. Let's get something to eat before we go back to the bed.
That's pretty good, Philip. That's
hey, I
awesome.
Know where there's some corn. Let's ease over.
Yeah, let's go by there.
Bob, it's almost daylight, man. Oh, don't worry about it.
We'll be okay.
We'll be fine. How many times did that lead to trouble, right?
Yeah.
In the early days.
Most times.
Yeah. How many times you been sitting in the Waffle House when the sun come out?
Me, a lot. Yeah. Back in the day.
Only nobody came in and shot you.
No.
Not back then. It might happen now, but.
Yeah.
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 So, yes. And
that was crazy.
Deer pretty smart this time of year also. Was in the woods last night. Saw, man, I've been seeing a lot of young bucks. I got a lot of good bucks on camera, but all I see during the daytime are the
youngsters.
Are the men in red?
Okay,
that's a Star Trek reference. Ask Moneypenny; she gets that.
Okay,
the men in red on Star Trek.
Okay,
they had like a 59% chance if you were wearing the red shirt when you were a guest on Star Trek.
Right,
and it's like, hey, Captain Kirk and Spock and Bones and, you know,
you're going
the
way
hot
back.
Chick and two guys in red are beaming down to the surface.
The two guys in red.
The two guys
back.
In red ain't coming back. You dead. So these little 2 points and 4 points, they're the guys in red wandering around, you know. Hey, man.
It ain't going to take them long.
Somebody dumped a bunch of corn out here.
Let's party.
Yeah, that's right. Let's party. Go to the Waffle House.
Yeah.
But, yeah. It's great. I love October. I'm tired, though. Very tired.
You are looking wore out.
Well, let's go to a break. When we come back, we'll jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Stay tuned.
And speaking of Smoky Dreams Barbecue, want to extend congratulations to our buddy Chris Brink and his wife, Courtney Brink. They welcomed a new Brink into the world this week. Carson Christopher, let's see, yesterday, 9:46 a.m.
Wow.
Everybody's doing good. And
congratulations.
Yeah, they got a new they got three of them now. I sent Chris a Facebook message. Mm-hmm. I said, ain't no more man to man in your house now. Y'all gonna have to play zone defense. 2-on-3.
Wise world.
2-on-3.
So, wise world.
Congratulations to the Brinks.
Absolutely.
I know Mama Brink and Papa Brink and Tim and all the Brinks down there at Smoky Dreams Barbecue. Good people. And now they got another one. So they got another little get you some.
Get you some. That's what's going there with that.
Get you some. So what's his first words?
Get you some.
Get you some.
That's pretty cool, Philip.
So jumping into the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Wow.
I'm a little bit off center here because it didn't make it to the website. We had to talk to the folks downstairs. Somebody's probably on vacation.
You know.
But anyway.
They're very, very busy people.
Yep, yep. Reese puts these up on the website, and he does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, except he didn't do it this week, so I don't know. Ask Money P. He still work here? Sometimes. Anyway, with the month of October in full swing and the months of November and December ahead, when the subject of hunting comes up in conversation, most of the time around here, it's centered around whitetail deer hunting. Now, deer hunting is the second largest attraction in the outdoor sports arena in the upstate, following fishing as an outdoor pastime. You know, back in the 70s, there was a third one, streaking.
Streaking
was the third favorite outdoor pastime. You had fishing. That's before whitetail deer got big.
True.
And streaking.
Okay.
You remember when streaking was big?
Man, I was streaking before streaking was cool.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
I'm just telling you the fact.
However, that goes back to that Waffle House early in the morning.
My mama, that song came out. My mom said, well, y'all been doing it for years.
Yeah. We called little Tommy the streak when he was a kid.
Exactly.
Geez, some days you have shows that just won't stay on the rails.
No, but those are some of the best ones.
Yeah. White-tailed deer are not the only game in town during the fall. In fact, several small game species seasons are open or will open in the next couple of months, and the opportunities for hunting these species are widely available throughout the state and in the upstate. Cue the squirrel noise. including both gray squirrel and fox squirrel. We have no budget for sound effects. Squirrel hunting season opened across the state on October 1st and runs until March the 1st. Now, many hunters are witnessing a resurgence in the popularity of squirrels as a game species in the last decade. Even with the renewed interest, state wildlife managers claim squirrels to be one of the most underutilized game species in the state.
Can I stop you there for a second?
Yeah.
Always this time of the year, people are saying, do they still have wolves? Do they still have wolves?
Wolves.
It's those damn, those sores that gets on them.
Oh, okay.
From some kind of fly.
Yeah.
You know, I have seen one, maybe two, but it's hard for me to tell, you know, if that's, you know, still random. We do need some cooler weather. That's my opinion.
So, wait.
So, I would wait till we get a look, couple more of these cooler nights like we're going to have coming up this week.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure you won't have to worry about it.
And that gets, that's a fly bite.
It's a fly bite and actually puts a larva.
Oh.
And it actually eats a hole into the side.
Like a blowfly?
Exactly.
Oh.
But it's one larva. It's the craziest thing you ever seen.
So can you still eat the squirrel if it's got that?
I mean, I've heard, I'm not, and you know, I'm Tommy, I'll eat anything.
That's all right, there you go.
Continue on, sir.
Okay, well, that just blew out squirrel hunting. So okay. Mourning doves. The statewide mourning dove season is broken down into several segments, with most hunters only participating in the early season, that's around Labor Day. But the late season for runs from November the 10th to the 24th, and then again from December 15th to January 15th. Now, up-to-date scouting is the key to successful late-season hunts. You want to scout your prospective hunting areas and see what fields the birds are using. Food sources are paramount for migrating doves, and they may only use a feeding area for a few days before they move on.
And that late season dove season is when we get some of those real large dove that come wherever they come from. They're big.
Them
Phillip.
Large and
they're,
tough.
They're big.
And don't expect them to fly close to the ground
no,
either.
No, and 7.5 is...
And 7.5, they just laugh at that.
It bounces
hey,
off
buddy.
Yeah,
hey,
you
buddy.
You got to do better than that.
Yeah, you're going to have to get something bigger than that. You're going to kill me, hey. Anyway, rabbits.
Go.
Rabbits. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to make a prediction.
Dude,
the number of rabbits that I have seen this year, maybe it's just on my property, but I've been seeing rabbits, I mean, everywhere, in the neighborhood, on the hunt club.
Me too.
I got to find, I don't know why, but I got a feeling it's going to be a banner rabbit year.
I agree.
Now, running rabbits with dogs, that's without using guns, is permitted from March 2nd through November 21st. That's the guys just want to hear the dogs bark.
Right.
You want to hear dogs bark? Just walk through my neighborhood. Walk through the neighborhood and jingle a chain, okay, at night.
Yeah.
Okay?
Gotcha.
Dogs will bark at you. I don't find it that endearing. Anyway,
right.
Following that, on November the 22nd, guns are allowed and rabbits may be harvested from November 22nd through March the 1st. Again, hunting with dogs. The bag limit is 5 rabbits per hunter per day for hunters who do not have access to private lands. A listing of available wildlife management areas that allow small game hunting for rabbits is available on the DNR website. You ever eat crow, Springer?
No, that's something I've never...
Not even wanting to. Not even wanting to.
Nah.
Mainstream hunters rarely think about hunting crows, but there is a nearly cult following of hunters who chase these birds. Crow hunting season is open from November 1st to March 1st, and there's no limit on the birds. Rarely harvested for food, although a lot of people do eat crow, figuratively speaking, crows are considered a nuisance species, especially around agricultural lands. The one time I shot this season, man, there must have been a whole murder of crows around because you could hear.
Rah, yeah, rah. They go off.
I must have ticked them off when
yes,
I shot.
Yes, you did.
Ticked me off too. They're laughing at me. Now, quail. The season for wild quail in South Carolina runs from November 19th through March the 1st. That's with guns and dogs. Quail populations have declined significantly in South Carolina and across the Southeast over the last 40 years, but efforts to maximize quail habitat may help stabilize numbers of the bird. I actually, when I was in the stand and the sun came up this morning, I heard a bunch of quail.
Yeah.
I got quail on my property. I don't think enough to hunt, and I wouldn't want to hunt them because
right.
I just – and matter of fact, I was riding four-wheeler – was it today? I can't remember. Anyway, it blew one up.
Wow.
Right there in the edge. Like rabbits, suitable quail habitat dictates whether a particular area will hold quail and the abundance they will be found in. Much effort has been placed by the state not only in managing public land for quail, but in teaching private landowners how to maximize the benefits on their lands. They got a whole new thing like no mow.
Right.
No mow, M-O-W. Mm-hmm. Talking about the field edges. Let it grow, no mow.
Mm-hmm.
We could put that to life.
And there was an article this week in DNR.
Yeah.
That said the quail numbers are better.
Yeah, are better. Now, most quail hunters are more familiar with hunting pen-raised quail on pay-to-hunt preserves like the Clinton House Plantation.
Yeah.
And the seasons for released quail hunting open earlier in the year than the wild quail season, and limits are dictated by the outfitter. And finally, not to be confused with small game, South Carolina's bear season opened earlier this week, with steel hunting for bears in Game Zone 1, that's the Mountain Hunt Unit, allowed from October 17th to November the 23rd.
That would be October 23rd.
Oh, I said November. That's right. You pulling a PG on me over here.
I love you, brother.
October 17th through October 23rd is the steel hunt season. The next day, party dog hunting runs from October 24th to October 30th. Now, bear hunting is highly regulated by the state, with bear tags required for steel hunting and a pre-application process for party dog hunting. All harvests must be reported back to SCDNR. Matter of fact, you stand a good chance of talking with Tammy Wachter. You kill a bear. Bear hunters frequently get a bad rap for their participation in the sport, despite regulated bear harvest being shown as an important factor in controlling the expanding bear populations amid growing human encroachment into bear habitat.
Bingo.
Y'all won't complain about, oh, we got bears on my property. Well, you let somebody come in and hunt them?
Bingo.
Oh, I don't want somebody hunting them. They're cute. They're not cute when you see them eating your dog food.
Or eating your dog.
Yeah, or eating your dog. Let's go to our break. When we come back, we're going to ring up our buddy Zach Caldwell, and then we'll get to your
Chris
calls.
Chris from Pelsner. We'll get to you as well.
We'll get to your calls and text.
Right here, Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. The Upstate's talk stations. Hang in there. We'll be right back on the flip side.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on the radio, and we got a buddy of mine on the phone, hadn't talked to him in a while, and suddenly comes up on social media as a rock star as far as the hunting world goes. Zach, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
What's going on, Philip?
Hey, man, we're talking to Zach Caldwell, and Zach, man, you killed your first deer this past week.
Yeah, I sure did. Excited about it too.
Okay, so your first deer. I mean, that's a reason for celebrating all in and of itself. But the weapon that you used, dude, you are the first person that I know of that has used one of these air rifles. You know, the heavy duty Bulldog 357 air rifle to take a deer with. Tell us how your hunt went. How it got set up.
Well, I was hunting on my property down in Hunyah Pass, and this buck stepped out, you know, so I pointed my Benjamin Bulldog 357 air rifle. I'm a hunting blind, loaded with a 140 grain hollow point made by Mr. Hollow Point himself. And I released the safety, took a deep breath, bam. Buck went down. Killed my first deer ever. Using my air rifle. No one believed me, so I showed them, you know, you don't need a high-powered rifle with all that noise, you know, to take down a large animal. I mean, had other deer around that deer. They didn't even spook off and run. You know, they'd sit there wondering what that noise was.
So you dropped nine of them. That's what Springer would have done. I was reading on the specs. It says you got 10 shots per field. I guarantee you Springer would have kept shooting.
Don't listen to him, Zach.
Me.
He said, don't listen to him. He didn't deny it. He just said, don't listen to it.
I wouldn't be telling nobody about it.
So Zach, what was, I mean, as far as you know, getting into hunting, what was the reason behind you wanting to hunt with the air rifle?
Because, you know, I got high power rifles. You know, I hardly ever shoot them. They just sit there in the closet, collect dust. I mean, these right here, I can shoot all year long. You know, from this Bulldog, I can shoot from a 81 grain pellet up to a 165 grain slug. I mean, it got its purposes. I mean, I can't do that with none of my high power rifles.
So you can go from basically a pellet, like most of us think of a pellet, all the way up to a 357 round.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
How does it, I mean, do you have to change chambers?
I mean, do you have to hook it up to a compressor or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, Zach? I mean, there's a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, I got a 4,500 PSI onboard compressor, and I fill my gun up with, you know, the gun is rated for 3,000 PSI. So
shooting
a big slug like I was shooting, you're probably going to get 8 good shots out that gun. 8 good shots, you know, around 750 feet per second.
Okay, so that's what kind of range do you have with the top end with the 357?
I'm say give or take. I say a good 60 yards. That you want something that heavy, you know, have its full energy on that animal.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So at 60 yards, do you have to compensate for drop, or is that going to be pretty much dead on at 60 yards?
That's pretty much what I got it sighted in at 50 yards. So it's pretty much zeroed in. It's bullseye.
So just looking at this from all the other weapon choices that are available, if you're bow hunting or crossbow hunting, you've got an effective range. Some people argue with this, but about 40 yards. That's kind of the standard. Most people say, some people say, I've killed a deer with a bow at 80 yards, but about 40 yards is the maximum to have a humane kill. And then, of course, muzzleloader, you're going to have, gosh, these days out to about 200 yards. So this air rifle, about 60 yards.
Yeah. I mean, you can do more. I mean, that's basically what a gun is. It's almost like a high-powered muzzleloader because you can go to Walmart and buy bullets off the shelf.
Wow.
They got a 50 caliber Umarex hammer fixing to come out in February. I'm looking at that. I just purchased, they got a Air Force Texan. It's a 45 caliber. It should be on the way. You know, it shoot up to 300 to 400 grain slugs.
Now, and that also brings up another question with the segregated seasons that we have here in the upstate. You know, you got you got primitive weapon, it's archery season opens September the 15th, and then primitive weapon opens on October the 1st. Have you talked with any of the DNR about where this gun falls? In other words, would you be able to use it during an archery or a primitive weapon season?
I need to talk to DNR about that for real, because that gun, it also shoots air bows.
Wow.
You can shoot air bows out of that gun.
And I seem to recall, I've seen, if that's the one that shoots arrows out of it, I don't think South Carolina has passed it where you can use it during archery season. I think maybe Texas has qualified that as an archery weapon if you use arrows. So that would be really interesting. And like I said, you're the first one that I know that's hunting with the air-powered rifle. So that is just amazing.
And I could see, like, for someone like me who hunts around small suburbs, and the quietness would be the key right there, Zach, you know, because even with a shotgun – the neighbors know when Springer lets her bark. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I could see that. They wouldn't even know I was in the world.
And the other thing about it for Springer's use is with that Bulldog profile, the big fat profile, you could mount your flashlight on the side of that Springer.
Oh, my God.
For hunting.
You can put all kind of optics on that thing.
I was actually referring to Springer's. Springer's got a propensity to hunt dark.
Just because I'm going to my deer stand to check my liquor still, I don't know what happens here. Everything, you know.
Oh, me.
And you know, you the air, it's got an onboard compressor, so that's something. Do you hook it up to it, or I mean, I imagine it's electronic or plugs into.
Yeah, it plugs into like you can. It hooks up to you like your car battery, your lawnmower. You can plug it up in your house, and you just fill your gun up with 3,000 psi, and you're ready to go.
Wow. So we were wondering if it had a pump on it like the old Crossman.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Zach, how many times I had to pump that thing up, cuz.
there's pumps you can buy.
Right.
But filling that thing
sure.
up will give you a workout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet.
You're going to feel it when you get done.
Yeah.
Well, that is awesome,
that
man.
That is an amazing story.
Well, hey, man, congratulations.
I so appreciate it.
Yeah, and thanks for taking some time. Yes, taking the time, because it's
interesting.
I was sitting in the deer stand last night, and I saw where your wife had posted about you killing a deer with her air gun, and I said, oh, we got to get Zach on the radio and talk about that.
I would never forget that. I would never forget yesterday.
Well, there you go. All right, Zach Caldwell, congratulations. Hey.
Kill another one.
Also, you been doing any kayak fishing, doing any good?
No, I'm still trying to get over the summer heat. It's been so humid outside. It just kind of brought me down a little bit. I'm trying to get maybe going out, get some of my motivation back.
Yep, yep. Got the deer hunting bug now. It'll be a while before he's back on the road.
I saw you and your wife last weekend, I guess about 2 weekends ago at a hot spot down there, and I tried to catch it, but you didn't took off on me.
Oh, yeah. I won't say I gave up the kayak, but, yeah, I know where you're talking about. We'll have to talk about that offline.
Zach, you take care of yourself, cuz.
All right.
We'll talk to you next time. That's a killer story, dog.
Yeah, man.
I'm just trying to picture it all in my mind.
I saw there was actually some folks who were shooting at part of the South Carolina Outdoor Writers Association. I think they were testing those a couple of years ago. Might have even been down at the Clinton House. And I was not aware, you know, what the legalities
were. Right.
But like I said, that's been a couple, 3 years ago.
Yeah,
and
because that can open up a whole new can of worms as far as rules, regulations, blah, blah, this, blah, that.
And so what?
Well, I agree with you.
I'm the first one
to agree with you.
Because
if you only got XYZ tags,
yeah,
what difference does it make?
Yeah, what difference does it make? I mean, you know, they talk about sound suppression and all that.
Yeah.
So great. Well, let's go to a break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk about the proper way to net a fish.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD. Stay tuned.
All righty. Let's catch up on the text line. Let's see. Doing the Bobby Mac thing. LOL, you got to take a compressor with you to pump that thing up. I think we answered that one, which we had that same question too.
Yeah.
About the air rifle. Apparently you pump it up and you got 10 shots. I'll go out in the woods with 3 rounds. I'm good.
Right.
Says, since you mentioned it, a safety tip, streaking and blackberry picking do not go well together. Naked apple picking is much better.
I agree.
Agreed. crows are so tough, you can't get them tender enough to eat. Don't waste your time. I'll take your word for it. I'm not a hunter, but my question is, if you have a license to hunt deer and a bear comes up on you and you shoot it, do you get in trouble? The answer to that question is absolutely. You have to be, number one, you have to have a bear tag. You have to be in the proper game zone. The bear has to be over 100 pounds and not a sow with cubs. But, and this, I think, I don't know if it's the same texture gets into the question, I'll ask it. So, can you hunt deer at the same time a bear steel hunt is going on public land? Yes, you can. Or dog hunting season. You cannot steel hunt during dog hunting season for bear. The seasons do overlap, and that was something that they used to, in the mountain hunt unit, they closed deer season for the bear season, and then the people are like, well, psh, You know, what the heck? The one thing you cannot do is you cannot bait. You can't be sitting on a baited deer hole.
A 55-gallon drum full of donuts.
Yeah, you can't do that and kill a bear. You will get in big trouble for that. This is, would you two, let's see, next text. Would you two like to see building limits in the mountains here if it means we could have a population of elk and a possible hunt? I would like to see building limits in the entire freaking state.
Bingo!
Not just the mountains. I mean, you can't go to Charleston anymore. There's too many people here.
They've overtaken more.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I see more and more building in the mountains, and it hurts my soul because it ruins the integrity of the woods and places to go get lost. I agree with you 100%. I'll say I hate to see the building in South Carolina, period.
Yeah, but...
Because it ruins the integrity of the state and...
Look, let me tell you, folks, the money's coming here.
Yeah.
And money talks and what walks, Philip Gentry?
Yes. Bravo, Sierra.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's talk about the proper way to land a fish. Springer said he would disagree with me.
Maybe.
There's three tenets here, and then we'll go to our break. It says, okay, so you got a big fish on the line.
Big right? fish.
Big
what
fish.
What is your idea of a big fish?
Well, it depends.
Okay.
Depends on what I'm fishing for.
All right. Let's say it's a big striper.
Big striper.
30 pounds.
Yeah, I'm going to net a 30-pounder.
Right. Okay.
I'm probably going to net a 10-pounder.
Okay.
But anyway, number one is keep the hoop and mesh completely out of the water until the fish is in striking distance.
Bingo.
You agree?
I agree with
that. A lot
that
of people
all
throw that net no, down in the water.
Dude, I've lost. That mistake has been made, and yeah. The next thing you hear is, pow! And well, guess what that was?
Yeah, that's a line break.
That's a line break.
And what happens is that fish is tired out, and then, you know.
You freak him out.
And you get him up close to the boat, and he sees that net down there waiting for it. What would you do?
I would use what last bit of energy I could to get away.
If you were being herded up, and all of a sudden you mm-hmm. saw the net, mm-hmm. and you realized
mm-hmm.
whatever this is trying to get me into that net.
I'm going to make that last-ditch effort.
I'm going to make that last-ditch effort. Number two, tuck the tail end of the mesh in your right hand and hold it against the net prior to scooping. Then as you swing for the fish, I don't agree with the swinging for the fish part, but let it fall free. This will keep the mesh under control prior to the final second.
Agree with that as well.
I don't know that I've done that, but I also know I almost screwed up a 40-pound striper. I was by myself.
Right.
You know, so I guess that's my
that's
excuse.
That's tough.
But I grab the net and I go to swing it and I hang the net in the friggin' rod holder and I'm like,
that's not.
And I'm watching the line ping across the fish's dorsal fin and I'm like, this is where I lose it.
Pow!
But it didn't happen.
Really?
No.
Wow.
I got him in there.
It was your day.
All right, number three, always net the fish head first.
I agreed.
Well, what were we going to disagree on?
Well, I have netted a fish. Not by the head first, because it was one of those desperate things.
Well,
you know?
And I think
that was the only thing I was going to disagree about.
I think we've all done that, but what the
I've
statement...
I've actually netted a fish that has come unglued, brother.
Yeah.
It's just a desperate splash.
Oh, yeah. When that happens, it's really just reaction.
It's reaction,
but
man.
The reason for netting a fish head first is a fish got no reverse.
True.
Okay.
They can't go
if
anywhere
he's
going to
swim away, he ain't going nowhere before.
Forward.
So you put the net in front of him, yeah. He's going to help you out. But I'm like Springer. I have had that you know, where you get him up to the top. The one thing you don't want to do is a lot of people want to net underneath the fish and come up.
True.
No, you want to produce the net out in front of the fish.
And at that last moment.
At the last moment and have him help you by swimming
exactly.
into it. And I tell you what, a lot of folks have caught fish, you know, when they're netting fish. All you got to do is get the head in, okay?
Right.
Once you get the head started, the rest of it's easy.
Easy.
Okay, no pun intended. But, that's
I
how
got
that,
you.
I mean, even a fish that won't fit in the net, if you can control his head, you know, even if it only goes halfway down the fish, you got it.
Yeah. There's been a many instances, Philip Gentry, with big flounder.
Yeah.
And I mean nice ones, five-pounders,
yeah.
Okay? Doggone, the grub comes out of the fish's mouth. And a flounder, you know how he is, and he just... And for that brief second, what does he do, Philip?
He just sits there. No, he's laughing at you.
And
he's laughing at you because you never had him hooked.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
And you know, there's been times where we've got that flounder, but then there's been times, okay, we get the flounder in the net and we're kind of being not paying attention. We're getting a little laxious, okay?
Yeah.
And the lure falls out of the flounder's mouth. Well, we're keeping him in the water a little bit, even though the lure's out, because we're messing around with something. And all of a sudden, that flounder decides to do what? And I've watched him jump straight up and straight out of the net like some kind of professional diver or something, and he's gone.
Yeah. I tell you what, the thing about flounder is that a lot of times if you look, you don't really have him hooked.
No.
He's just holding on to your bait.
Exactly.
Messing with you.
I agree with that.
Yep. All right. That's we're going to go
down
to our break. Now I'm going to go get Tammy, and we're going to have Tammy Wachter in the studio second hour.
So stay tuned. 106.3 WORD, Upstate Outdoors. Taking a news for a break from the news. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.